gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ajanta Pharma Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant line will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agarwal, Managing Director of Ajanta Pharma Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this earning call. With me, I have Mr. Rajesh Agarwal, our Joint Managing Director, Mr. Arvind Agarwal, our CFO, and Mr. Rajiv Agarwal, our EVP Finance and Investor Relations. I hope that the results are already there with you. We will take you through the business-wise performance for the Q3 and 9 months of the current year, along with the comparison of previous year same period. I am pleased to inform you that the Board of Directors have approved the second interim dividend for the current year. Each share of Rs. 2 face value will receive a dividend of Rs. 26, amounting to the dividend amount of Rs. 327 crore. In Q1 of this year, Board of Directors had already approved the dividend of Rs. 25 per share, having a face value of Rs. 2, amounting to the dividend of Rs. 315 crores. Hence, for the 9 months of the current year, the company has given the dividend of Rs. 51 per share, having a face value of Rs. 2, and the total dividend payout for the 9 months stands at Rs. 642 crores, which is 96% of the cash flow from the operations for the period. The dividend yield works out to 2.42% based on the closing price of 30th January 2024. Moving on to the business, our three verticals of the business, branded generic, US generic, and institution business in Africa, generated total revenue of Rs. 1105 crores against Rs. 972 crores, posting a growth of 14% in the Q3, and Rs. 3155 crore against Rs. 2861 crore, posting a growth of 10% in the first 9 months. During 9 months, 71% of the total revenue came from branded generic business, which is spread across India, Asia, and Africa. The sales stood at Rs. 755 crore against Rs. 666 crore, posting 13% growth in Q3, and Rs. 2230 crore against Rs. 2065 crore, posting 8% growth in 9 months. Let me now take up international business, and I will first start with the branded generic business in Asia and Africa, which contributed 40% in the total revenue. Let's begin with Asia. In Asia, our presence spans across the Middle East, Southeast Asia, and Central Asia, encompassing around 10 countries. During Q3, sales was Rs. 292 crores against Rs. 227 crore, posting a healthy growth of 28%. And in 9 months, sales was Rs. 776 crore against Rs. 719 crore, growth of 8%. We launched 15 new products during 9 months of the current year in the region. Growth during Q3 was higher due to some of the supplies which got spilled over from Q2 to the Q3. However, on a full year basis, we estimate the growth to be low double digit figure. Let's move to Africa. Africa branded business is spread across 20 countries. During Q3, sale was Rs. 155 crore against Rs. 145 crore, posting 7% growth. And in 9 months, sale was Rs. 472 crore against Rs. 458 crore, growth of 3%. We launched 5 new products during first 9 months of the current year in the region. Our performance in the secondary sales continues to exceed industry growth and remains into the teens. However, due to rationalization of the inventory by our distributor, our primary sales growth for the first 9 months has been lower. As the rationalization is completed now, we are confident of posting mid-teen growth in the coming years in Africa. Let us now talk about other two verticals of international business. U.S. generics. U.S. generics contributed 23% to the total revenue in Q3 with sales of rupees 250 crore against rupees 266 crore, posting a degrowth of 5%, and in 9 months, sales was rupees 703 crore against rupees 631 crore with a growth of 11%. Q3 degrowth is attributed to last year's higher flu season, as mentioned in our earlier earnings call. In 9 months, we filed 6 ANDAs and expect to file about 2 ANDAs in the rest of the year. We received 6 final approvals and launched 4 ANDAs during 9 months of the year and expect to launch one more product in Q4 of the current year. We have 44 products on shelf and 22 ANDAs are awaiting approval with USFDA. Moving to Africa institution, this business contributed 6% in the total revenue, which comprises of anti-malarial products. In Q3, sale was rupees 86 crore against rupees 31 crore, posting a healthy growth of 179%. And in 9 months, sale was rupees 188 crore against rupees 141 crore, posting 33% growth. High growth seen in Q3 was result of preponement of few supplies of Q4. This business remains unpredictable due to the reliance on procurement of the agency's funds and schedule. I now invite Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, our Joint Managing Director, to take you through the India business now.
Thank you. Good evening to all of you. I am delighted to share key highlights of India business with you. Our performance has been excellent on the back of increased volumes, price increase, and new product launches. India business contributed 31% in the total revenue. In Q3, sale was rupees 308 crores against rupees 294 crores. Growth of 5%, and in 9 months, sale was rupees 982 crores against 888 crores, posting healthy growth of 11%. India business includes revenue from trade generic of rupees 38 crores in Q3 of both the current and previous year, and rupees 120 crores against 109 crores in 9 months. In 9 months of the year, we have launched 13 new products, including 4 first movers. Our medical representatives' productivity has shown marked improvement aligned with our revenue growth while maintaining consistent MR levels. We continue to outpace the IPM by 200 basis points, with Ajanta growing at 12%, surpassing IPM growth rate of 10% as per IQVIA MAT December 2023. This trend extends to most of the therapeutic segments we are in, where our growth has consistently outpaced the segment growth. However, in cardiology, our growth was lower to IPM due to price revision in one of our major products in December 2022. In the covered market, we continue to be fourth largest in IPM and among top 10 in all our therapeutic segments. As per IQVIA MAT December 2023, we have 4 brands in the top 500 brands list. In our sales breakdown, cardiology contributed 38%, ophthalmology contributed 31%, dermatology contributed 22% of our India business, with remaining 9% coming from pain management. I now invite Mr. Arvind Agrawal, CFO, to take you through the financial performance. Thank you, and over to you, Arvind.
Thank you. Good evening and warm welcome to the third earning call of FY2024. On this call, our discussion includes certain forward-looking statements, which are projections or estimates about future events. These estimates reflect management's current expectations about future performance of the company. These estimates involve number of risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from what is expressed or implied. Ajanta does not undertake any obligation to publicly update any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new confirmation, future events, or otherwise. We will look at the consolidated financials and provide year-on-year comparisons. The key financial highlights for Q3 and 9 months for FY 2024 are as follows. Total revenue in Q3 stood at rupees 1105 crores against 972 crores, posting 14% growth. In 9 months, revenue was rupees 3155 crores against rupees 2861 crores, a growth of 10%. Our gross margin came at 73% in Q3 and 75% in 9 months, and same is in line with our guidance. We hope to close the year at about 75%. Personnel cost increased by 20%, part of which about 9% is on account of regrouping of related expenses from selling expenses, as explained in earlier earning calls, and balance was regular annual increments and additions. R&D expenses was 5% of total revenue. In Q3, expense was rupees 52 crores against rupees 61 crores in 9 months. It was rupees 157 crores against 174 crores. Other expenses stood at rupees 266 crores in Q3. Reduction is about 22% over previous year same period. In 9 months, it stood at rupees 792 crores, reduction of about 12% from previous year same period. Reduced international logistic cost contributed favorably of about rupees 34 crores in Q3 and rupees 79 crores in 9 months compared to average of FY 2023. We expect logistic cost to move up significantly in Q4 due to Red Sea crisis and higher marketing expenses in Q4, which will increase overall other expenses by about 7% over Q3. EBITDA margin was at 28% in both Q3 and 9 months. EBITDA stood at rupees 314 crores against rupees 178 crores in Q3 and in 9 months at rupees 894 crores against 588 crores. This positive performance was attributed to the combined benefits of improved gross margin, reduced logistic cost, and stabilization in US price erosion. However, as mentioned earlier, higher other expenses in Q4 may see EBITDA a little lower than 9-month average. However, we are revising our full year guidance to 27% plus minus 1% for full financial year 2024. Other income was at rupees 14 crores in Q3 and rupees 49 crores in 9 months, which includes forex gain of rupees 4 crores and rupees 19 crores respectively. Income tax stood at 28% for Q3 and 27% for 9 months. For FY 2024, tax is expected to be around 27%. PAT in Q3 was at rupees 210 crores against rupees 135 crores, and in 9 months it was rupees 614 crores against rupees 466 crores, 19% of revenue from operations. You will be pleased to note that PAT for 9 months for FY 2024 has crossed full year PAT of FY 2023. We incurred CAPEX of rupees 80 crores in 9 months FY 2024. CAPEX, including maintenance CAPEX for FY 2024, is estimated to be at rupees 125 crores against our earlier estimate of rupees 150 crores. ROCE and RONW continues to improve and be comparable with the best in the industry. ROCE stands at 30% and RONW at 23% at the end of December 2023. In 9 months FY 2024, we have generated a healthy cash flow from operations of rupees 669 crores with cash conversion ratio of 75% and free cash flow of 346 crores with 56% PAT conversion. With these highlights, I open the floor for the question answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So on this Red Sea impact, which you mentioned that, you know, it is going to impact the EBITDA in quarter four. Is this something that it is going to impact the supplies in Asia and Africa sales in quarter four?
No, not significantly. I think whatever guidances we have given for each of the regions, we should be able to meet those guidances. So overall, we've seen there is a little bit increase in the transit time of the shipment. By 10 to 15 days, it has increased. But we are going to wait and watch and monitor the situation. Maybe the inventory working capital may increase a little bit because the product will be sitting in transit for longer time than the earlier months. But I think for the next quarter, we are okay to deliver the numbers what we had given the guidance as well.
So like for Asia business, low double digit you have given for this year, right? And for FY 25 and 26, how should we look at this thing? How should we look at the growth in next 2 years? And, you know, we had, you know, increased our MRs and everything in Asia branded and Africa branded business. So is it something that, you know, from next year we can expect that the growth should be better because of the improving MR productivity?
Yes, absolutely. Africa, as I said in my opening remark comments, because of the inventory rationalization by our distributor, our primary sales was lower, but actually when you see our secondary sales, it was in the mid-teens. So there is no issue as such. And Asia also, I think for the 9 months, or for the whole year, we are guiding for the low teens. So going forward also, we expect around the low teens to mid-teens numbers for the Africa and Asia.
Got it, sir. And one last question on institutional business. You know, what is really changing in the entire business? Is it that the procurement agencies have now picked up the orders for anti-malarial sales? And how should we actually see this for, you know, next 2 years?
See, the institution business is very predictable, which is what we've been saying always. This period is pretty much when most of the orders come, typically. So the quarter-wise, it can get skewed. As I said, in Q3, we had a higher dispatches as compared to the next upcoming quarter. So very difficult to give any kind of outlook on the institution business. It depends on how much funds they get, what is the malaria season, what is the requirement. There are so many variables which are beyond our control. So we take it as it comes. We can expect it to be a flattish kind of growth for the institution business.
Okay, sir, got it. I have more questions. I'll join back with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanam from JM PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions and congrats on good set of numbers. So my question is, you know, in terms of strategy, you talked about, you know, the MMA impacting the cardiovascular segment. See, given that, you know, we have cash in hand and, you know, we have also been in the industry for such a long time that, you know, we can, you know, expand the footprint, etc. So can you talk a little bit more about what we can do to improve the growth specifically in the cardiovascular space, which has been a little lower than what we had expected?
Couple of things. One is new product launches. So we have a good set of products that we have launched in the subtherapeutic segments in which we are present also. And second is just to gain market share by way of increasing more CRM activities, which is what now our focus is. And with these two things put together, we should be able to once again record faster growth compared to the industry and also go back to the growth rates that we were posting in the previous quarters and the previous years. So we don't need to really launch newer divisions as such as of now. Increasing the productivity, we have enough divisions for these brands that we have. Increasing the productivity will be the major focus.
Sure, sir. So With cash in hand, and I think, you know, a lot of companies are, you know, buying brands, making acquisitions. Do you think, you know, it is as a strategy you would be looking to acquire certain brands, bolt-on brands or certain divisions to accentuate your, you know, already strong presence in the domestic market?
No, certainly. We are always on the lookout for suitable brand acquisition targets and also opportunities. And if there are any such opportunities and deals that are present in the market, we have been evaluating them and then deciding if they are really apt for our business. So we are out there looking for acquisition targets. It's not that that's not one of the focus areas in terms of growth levers. Inorganic growth is most welcome for us. We are happy to look at that.
And sir, one final thing before I join that is, you know, as the previous participant spoke about Red Sea, I mean, specifically this year, we have seen very strong improvement in the, you know, operating expenses. Number one is going forward, I mean, this 27-28% margins that we have been doing this year, how do you see the sustenance of it? And is there a risk in terms of transportation costs moving up substantially with this issues with the Red Sea? What can one look at in terms of steady state rates in the next 18 months, not necessarily in the next 3 to 4 months?
I think overall the freight costs can go up if at the current rate, what we have seen, the last rates, what we have dispatched. The freight can go up by 0.5% overall, so which can translate into around 30-35 crores in this cost as compared to the current year. So that is the impact based on the current freight rates which are going. Any up or down can increase or deteriorate the margins accordingly. So other than that, as I said, the inventory working capital may slightly increase. For example, if US or transit time was 50 days, it can go to 65 days. Any other markets also. So 15-20 days we are seeing the increase in the transit time. So that's all about the logistics. Anything else you want to know?
So more or less, we should be plus or minus around this margin. You don't see risk around this.
Yeah, at this point in time, we don't see as materially impacting whatever is there. I think we should be able to manage in our growth.
Yeah, just one final thing, if I may squeeze in. With respect to the U.S. market, we've seen our peers, you know, talking about lower price erosion and actually, you know, reporting good numbers. One, we have Chantix. And, you know, number two, you know, are we seeing similar kind of improvement? No. You know, I know that this is not necessarily the prime focus of the business, but it's more opportunistic is what I'm trying to understand.
So what is the question?
So with respect to the US, I mean, are we, you know, when do we expect Chantix to be launched? And are we also seeing the base business erosion being lower and at some point of time benefiting us in terms of sales growth and margin?
Yes, absolutely. The price erosion has slowed down. In the current year, we are seeing at the normal levels, which was pre-COVID levels of the high single digit. So we see currently the U.S. market conditions are quite favorable. Chantix is a moving target. We were hoping that we get the approval anytime and we were hoping to launch in this Q4. But I think the way it looks right now, we are looking at a Q1 of the next year launch for the Chantix.
Sure, thanks a lot.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dr. Aman Kumar Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, all. fantastic results. Congratulations. Just wanted to ask two questions. One is on, have we taken the impact of, you know, launch of anti-malarial vaccine in Africa? So, like, what impact it is going to have on our business? So if you can just say that.
No, vaccines, we are not in the vaccines business. So, we've seen the GSK and I think one more vaccine which is there. It's very slow in the rollout in the Africa, and it's going to take a lot of time for the vaccination happen. Also, the efficacy of that vaccine is significantly lower as compared to the other vaccines which are being there for the other ailments. So overall, I think next 3 to 5 years, we don't see the vaccines to be having a meaningful impact on the anti-malarial market in Africa.
Okay. I think good.
Yeah.
Another question is that what Sudarshan was actually asking, the same thing. We have so much of cash, which we are actually giving back to the shareholders in terms of a very hefty dividend. But can't this cash be deployed in a more meaningful manner by, you know, either organically expanding or inorganically expanding the business?
No, definitely. That's always the outlook and the objective. So the only way we can use the cash is only for the acquisitions. And right now, whatever we have seen, scanned the businesses and markets, the acquisition can happen only in the branded generic space primarily, though we are open to any other acquisitions also. But right now, we don't have any candidate for which we would like to keep the cash in the company. So we thought the cash flows are pretty strong. They'll continue to be strong. And if we have a good candidate, we'll have enough cash to make the acquisition. So I think it's all about finding the right candidate. I think that's of the prime importance. And that's very difficult to time.
So do we...
Yeah, go ahead.
Please go ahead. I think you were saying something.
No. As Rajesh said, we are always open and willing to look at the targets there. It has to make sense for us two, three ways, which is very common generic, which I will be telling you. It has to fit in our product portfolio. It has to be the sunrise molecules. It has to be newer molecules. And it has to be reasonably priced, which we feel good about it. So after putting 3-4 filters, we are very, willing to look at the new candidate, the acquisition candidates.
Okay, so just last question. Assumption, so do we expect in future that whatever is the dividend yield for this year, we expect the similar kind of a yield for at least coming 1 or 2 years?
Depends on what kind of capex plans we have and what is the acquisition candidate. If not, then last year also our dividend payout, including buyout, both put together, was very sizable. And current year also is in the similar ratio. So I can give you a directional outlook that if there is no use for the money in the company, of course it will be paid back to the shareholders.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harsh from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just in terms of the cardiac performance, sort of repetitive in nature, but just to understand the last 2-3 quarter underperformance, I mean, one sense is the alien impact, but if one were to look at the overall molecule structure per se, let's say metoprolol and the other statin families, would you say that there is some level of market share loss across statins, or would you say that majority of the impact continues to be at the alien level?
So major impact is because of the NLEM price reductions that have happened. But also, as you have correctly pointed out, the competitive intensity in the marketplace has increased dramatically, as we see in the last one odd year. So there is some small bit of maybe insignificant market loss happening in statin platelet combinations and some of the other combination products in which we are present. Having said that, we have gone through this before in other specialties also, and we have stepped up our efforts by way of the CRM activities that we can do in an effort to regain the market share.
Okay. And in terms of the addition to the field force, just qualitatively, if you could help us understand where is the new field force in terms of the contribution or productivity, combined with the fact that in the international space, we are targeting a more focused approach. So on that spectrum, like how should we see the things?
Okay, what's the...
What's the question? I didn't hear the question correctly.
You were not very audible. Sorry to say that. If you can, so you mean to know about the productivity of the MR in the domestic or international?
international space, the addition that we have made to the field force, where are we qualitatively on the spectrum of productivity, combined with the fact that we are taking a more focused approach to the specialists in the international market?
Very broad question. So, yeah, we made a significant additions in the international market, for which last year we've seen the productivity dipped a little. But as they are getting more productive and they're getting more in the maturity curve, we are seeing the productivity to bounce back up current year. And next year, of course, it will go further up as well.
Okay, and lastly, the volume growth for the India market, could you help us understand the volume versus value split on a YoY basis?
Would you like to know the breakup of the growth in terms of volume, price, and new products?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah?
So the volume growth for Ajanta is 4%, whereas for the industry it is 2.6%. These are MAC December figures. So Ajanta is growing at a healthy 1.5 times the growth rate of the market growth in terms of volume. The price growth, IPM is at 4.3%. Ajanta is at 3.9%. As you would already understand, this is due to the NLEM impact that we have had to undergo. And on the new product, again, we are superior compared to the industry. IPM is at 3%, whereas Ajanta's contribution of new product growth is 3.7%.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So in the last two or three quarters, we have seen that, you know, your R&D has been annualizing at close to 200, 220 crores. Now that the U.S. outlook is slightly better than what you had envisaged a year, year and a half back, are you planning to increase your R&D in filings going ahead?
Yeah, the next year filing will be higher. Current year we had given the targets for 6 to 8 ANDAs, and we will be meeting our target for the current year. We will be filing 8 ANDAs for the current year. Next year, we are taking the target of 8 to 12 ANDA. So the filing will go up. Correspondingly, there will be incremental increase in the R&D cost, not very significant because we have gone through a very significant exercise of cost optimization across the organization, including R&D and manufacturing, because of which we see that certain benefits will come in. So there will be a marginal increase in the R&D spend, but probably percentage-wise, it should remain around the same of the current year.
Sure. And then since you have thrown your R&D, you know, from the past peaks, just want to understand, you know, what's the thought process behind product selection?
For which markets?
U.S.
Three, four things. One is the complexities. When the product are P2, the landscape is pretty much known. The fact is if it's a limited competition in a P2 where the patents have expired, it means it is a complex product. So you have to take a calculated bet on how many of such complex products we want to have in the pipeline. Then we look at the P3 products and we do the modeling, seeing that between the delayed release, extended release, controlled release, challenging products. Then we do a certain modeling and we select the products from there, depending on the competitive intensity we estimate it to be. There are certain P4 products which we feel good about getting into, you know, filing those P4. So there are various lenses for each of the patent certification filing which we do. So it's a quite intense process which it goes through.
And out of those 10 products that you'll be filing, how many would be P4?
I don't have that data with me right away. I don't have that data. Maybe I think
Raju can give you data.
Okay. So my second question is, you know, see, in India, you're not expanding your sales force, right? And in Africa and Asia, I believe, already expanded. So, you know, from an OPEX perspective, you know, there doesn't seem, besides the normal inflation, there doesn't seem to be a lot of other OPEX that you would be doing. Also, you know, so what is, the risk to your margins going to 30% in a couple of years' time? So I'm asking Ajanta specific risk. You know, something like a freight is like, you know, a problem for the entire industry. So what's the risk?
US price erosion is one unknown variable which is there, which we've seen in the past. Last year impacted very significantly. Current year the environment is very stable, and our current margin also reflecting our US performance current year also. So that is one variable. Second could be institution business, any flexible, any variables variance in that. So these are the two primary things. Other things, as you rightly said, the branded generic business is pretty predictable. The growth percentages may vary, but they are pretty predictable. So as we've guided, and we've always been guiding, last year also our margins shrank, and we've given a guidance that current year we should bounce back to 26%. And current year we are faring much better than our guidance what we had given. We have revised our guidance to 27% now. Going forward also, we believe that in the coming years it should inch up. How much and which year, difficult to say. We don't want to give that much forward-looking outlook. But it should continue to grow.
Got it. And this last one, if I may. So your productivity in PCPM in India would be around 4 lakhs or slightly thereabouts. So given your portfolio, what do you think would be the optimum level after which you would maybe look at sales force expansion?
No, there are... So this productivity is on a blended basis for the entire India business. But if you look at the individual marketing teams, the teams are on varied levels. And if you look at specialties also, for example, the benchmark in cardiology in terms of productivity cannot be the same benchmark in ophthalmology, clearly because of the smaller size of market and smaller, lesser business and prescription potential. So on a blended basis, you know, hard to say. We really don't benchmark in a way that if we touch this particular productivity that we would like to expand. We are constantly scanning the opportunities that are present. And as and when we feel that there is one in present and we can capitalize on that, then we will certainly look at expanding by way of adding more MRs, either by launch of new divisions or by adding them in the existing teams.
Okay, just trying to rephrase my question. So of the four divisions that, I mean, four therapies you have, which ones do you believe are close to optimum and which would be maybe, you know, still some distance away from that?
I think Ophthal we are doing reasonably well because we are the second largest company, and also in terms of productivity, we are very competitive with the largest company and the third largest company. So that's the benchmark. In cardiology, we have enough headspace to grow. Our productivity is much lower compared to some of the other likewise competitors. And so it is in derma and pain. I think we have a long way to go in both of these segments. So this is what it is.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
And just to close in on your field expansion, there would be a marginal field expansion, not a substantial one as we have done in the last 2 years. But going forward, that continues to be a marginal field expansion will continue to happen across the organization, blended basis, India and overseas. Because we have continuously new product being getting launched. It will not be as significant, but there will be continuously some percentage of field expansion will continue to happen.
But India, you haven't done any expansion in the last 3 or 4 years, right?
Yeah. No, yes. You're right.
Yeah. In India, no.
No.
Yeah, in India, no. It was primarily in the international markets.
Okay, got it. So thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. Next question is from the line of Tushar Mandune from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just on the India business clarification, like what kind of growth we can anticipate for FY24, given that third Q FY24 was a bit softer?
I think a couple of things. One is it's hard to predict right away because the IPM, which you would have seen the data of, the growth rates of the IPM have been a bit inconsistent in the past 6 months. We have had growth rates of 4%, 5%, then suddenly 17%, then again 8%. So it's been a bit inconsistent. We are in touch with IQVIA. We are also monitoring the prescription data from the consulting agencies to really be able to predict for the coming year. However, for Ajanta, our aspiration will be to outpace the market growth rate, especially the covered market growth. We are still about to enter into our next year budgeting sessions and all of that. So we have no particular outlook which I can primarily share with you at this point. It's a bottom-up process. It takes some bit of time. But we should be out with our guidance in the next quarterly investor call, hopefully.
Yeah, but FY24, we are talking about low teens.
FY24, we stick to our original guidance, which was low teens, low double digit,
yeah.
12 to 13%.
Yeah. Tushar? Sorry,
are you there?
We got disconnected from the line of Mr. Tushar.
Okay.
Moving on to next participant. Next question is from the line of Harsh Beria from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. Congratulations for a great mean reversion in our margins. It's really good to see that we are coming back to our 30%, almost 30% level. My first question is regarding our emerging market business. So if I see correctly, we have launched about 20 products in 9 months and maybe 10 products this quarter itself. So in that case, like when we are launching so many products, why are we only expecting low double-digit growth in this market going ahead?
So it's a combination of mature brands where the growths are slightly lower and the new brands, the growths are very on a higher side. So a combination of all that put together, that's where we are estimating it to be the low teens to mid-teens growth.
Okay. My second question is about our Indian market share, but in our covered markets. So we do give our IPM rankings, but we are obviously not present in all therapies. So in a covered market, what is our market share or what is our IPM rank?
Our ranking in each specialty, we have also for ophthalmology, we are the second. Yeah, overall as a company, covered market. Covered market, we are, I think, 10th ranked.
Fourth ranked.
We are fourth ranked in the covered markets that covered we are market. Present in across all specialties.
Board cap presentation.
And then there are rankings are different as compared to different. So for in ophthalmology in the covered market, we are ranked first and so on and so forth. I think you would find that in the investor presentation also. In cardiology, we are 10th ranked in the covered market. In ophthalmology, we are number one. In derma, we are number two in the covered market. Pain management, we are 11th ranked in the covered market.
Okay. And my final question is about ophthalmology division. We have seen very good growth coming back in this division. So what is the difference between the number one player and between Ajanta at this point?
So by way of prescriptions, if you look at the total number of prescriptions, we are already number one. And we have been consistently first ranked highest prescription generating company in the country for quite some time. This is by way of sales. The number one company has brands which have been built over decades, which are hard to really catch up upon in a short span. So therefore the difference. But you know, that's not really the only thing. What's most important is by way of prescriptions, we are able to generate far more prescriptions in there. And in ophthal, our growth rate is by far faster than the segment growth. Primarily, we are one of the companies which is driving the growth rates of the segment in this particular segment.
Great. And on this note, I have a final question, which is about our prescription generation. Can you also share a figure as to how many of our own medicines are prescribed on a per prescription basis? Is this something you're comfortable sharing?
Yeah, we have not been giving out this data you know, as such, it's a very intricate data that's perhaps best left with the company.
Okay, I understand that. Thanks for answering all my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tushar Mandune from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, and I think you got missed, so we, you know, can you repeat your question?
Yeah, I was actually referring for FY24 that we've grown by, say, 10-11% for 9 months. And
yeah,
we are talking about 12-13% for full year of 24. So does it mean that we'll grow at a pretty healthy rate of 13-15% for 4Q in particular?
For Q4?
Q4.
No, we don't anticipate growing at 15% for Q4. Our guidance was low double digit, so we could be landing by the end of the year at about 11-12% growth rate. Sorry, please.
15% Q4? Oh, yeah.
Q4, 15% is what? Okay. So our aspiration is to cross 15% for Q4.
Okay. Yeah.
That is what our aim is. We are, all the efforts are towards that. So you are right in a way.
Right. And just secondly, on EBITDA margin, where the guidance is of 27% plus minus 1.
Yeah.
And 9 months, we are already at 28.
Yes.
So does it mean that we would be much lower in terms of EBITDA margin for 4Q?
Not much lower. That's why we said 27 plus minus 1%. Yeah. Basically, because one is the higher freight cost which is coming in now. So the benefit which we got in earlier quarter, that will not be there. And also some more filings and other expenses are there. So because of that, we are expecting it to be a little lower. So overall, for the whole year, we are expecting about 27% plus minus 1%.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gagan Tareja from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah. Yeah. You are audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, for the tax rate this and next year, what should be sort of, you know, pencil in?
I think the current rate is about 28%, right? 27.9, so 28% around. And I think we expect the same rate to continue for the next year also.
Okay. And in terms of working capital, have you indicated that transit times are rising due to Red Sea? Does that have any impact on working capital for you?
Slightly it will be increasing. You know, fortunately we have been able to manage working capital quite well, as you must have seen in the ratio that, you know, we have brought down inventory to 68 days. So it may again go up to about 80 days like last year. So that can be there. That is possible, as MD also guided. You know, because of this delays in the deliveries, I think there can be some increase on that count.
Okay. Right. And, you know, this year on the NLEM products, the WPI linked price increases are of the order of 12% or so. WPI now is very weak, negative territory. For the next year, if WPI remains where it is, and you're not given any exemption from WPI linked increases, what impact does it have, or how does it portend for your India sales?
WPI, as per our calculations until December, looks at nearly the same, 0.01% on the negative side. So it's, let's just say that it's the same. So yeah, it's going to be a neutral impact. We will not be able to recover some of the input costs that incrementally are incurred by all companies. So that's a regrettable part, but it will remain exactly the same as what it is. So there's no negative impact in some sense.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just trying to understand what part of your India sales in percentage terms.
12% of our domestic portfolio is covered under NLEM exposure.
Okay, all right. And finally, sir, if you could just restate your FY24 full year guidances for the Asia and Africa business? I missed that. I mean, you would have given some number right at the start of the call, I think.
For the Asia full year will be the low teens. Africa full year will be mid to high single digit. Yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Good.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. As there are no further questions from participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this call. In case if there are any questions that left unanswered, please reach out to our investor relations team. Thank you for joining.
Thank you. On behalf of Ajanta Pharma, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.